Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shkolim, Daf Yud Tes. We begin brand new perek, the seventh perek, at Halacha Aleph, the first Mishnah, about a quarter of the way down. And the Mishnah begins. Moz shenimtzu bein hashkolim l'nedova. We talked yesterday in the shiur about the 13 different shofros that were arranged in the Azara. And these shofros were arranged, as we will see in today's Mishnah, in a circle. And if you were to find the money in between the two shofars, the question the Mishnah raises is, which shofar does it belong to? Obviously, if it's inside the shofar, there's no problem. So the Mishnah is going to be giving us rules as to what happens if you find the money inside the area between the two shofros. So Mos Shenimtzu Bein HaShkolim L'Nedava. If you find money in between the shofar that was for Shkolim, now this would be the Tiklin Chadatin, or the first shofar, and in between the Linadova, which is one of the six shofros, and this will be, since it's a circle, I'm jumping ahead and giving you the Gemara's answer, since it's a circle, so this will be the 13th shofar. So in this circle, you have between number 1 and number 13. If you find money in between them, so then it depends. Karov l'shkolim, if it's closer to the shkolim shofar, so then yiplu l'shkolim, then we give that money to shkolim. This will be the principle of the one that it's closest to is most likely the one that it is, in fact, coming from or was supposed to have been put into. L'nedava, if we find it closer to number 13, the shofar number 13, which is for the nedava, for the Ketz HaMizbeach, so then yiplu l'nedava. So then it would fall into that one. We put it into that one. If it's directly in between, mechza l'mechza, if it's equidistant between the two, it's plop right in between shofar number 1 and shofar number 13, mechza l'mechza, yiplu l'nedava. So then we go and put it into the nedava one. We give it as a voluntary Ketz HaMizbeach Ola. The Gemara will explain why this is the case. Next scenario is if you find the money bein eitzim l'levona. If you find in between the box that the shofar that is marked for eitzim, for wood donation, and in between the shofar that's marked for Lavona. This was between the shofros that were number 5 and number 6. Tomorrow we'll explain why we don't ask, what about if you find it between number 1 and number 2, and number 2 and number 3? We will ask those questions and explain that when we get to the Gemara. But right now we're asking, if you find money in between shofar number 5, the Eitzim, and shofar number 6, the Lavona. So it depends. Again, Karov l'Eitzim, if it's closer to the shofar that is marked for Eitzim, so Yiplu l'Eitzim, we give it to that shofar. If you find it Karov l'Levona, if it's closer to the one that's marked Levona, so then Yiplu l'Levona, then we give it to Levona. And again, if it's 50-50, if it's exactly equidistant, Mechza l'Mechza, so then in this situation, Yiplu l'Levona, we put it into the Levona, because as we'll see in the Gemara, the Levona is for a real carbon of the Mizbeach, as opposed to the Eitzim, which are sort of a machshire mitzvah. They assist in building the bringing a carbon, but they're not the actual carbon themselves. As the Tiklin Chadatin explains, the Lavona Atzma carbon, the Lavona itself is sacrificed on the Mizbeach, the Eitzim are machshire carbon. They just come to assist. Now, there is the Shnei Gzira Eitzim that are brought in the morning and the afternoon, but the vast majority of the money that was placed into the Eitzim was used for Machshire Mitzvah, and that's why if the choice is between putting it for something that will actually go on the carbon, like on the Mizbeach, like the Lavona, versus something that's just an assist to something on the Mizbeach, like the Eitzim, so we prefer to put the money that's in doubt into the Lavona shofar. Next question that we have is if you find in between Ben Kenan, Ligoz Leola. Now, I'm not sure why this order is over here, why this wasn't put first, but in any event, it's telling us if you have it between the shofar that was for the Kenan, we had a machlokas yesterday, whether this means, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that it's talking about the Tor, and then the Goz Leola was talking about the Ben Yonah, but the more simple way to understand this is like the Chachamim, which is that the Kenan was used for a Ola and a Chatas box, and the Goz Leola was purely for a Ola, two Ola box. So if you find coins, money, that is found between the Kenan and Goz Leola shofros, so again, same principle applies. Karov l'Kenan, yiplu l'Kenan. Karov l'Goz Leola, yiplu Goz Leola. Depends. Whichever one you find the closest to, that's when it goes to for sure, for certain. So if it's closer to the Kenan, you give it to the Kenan box. If it's closer to the Goz Leola, so you give it to the Goz Leola shofar. But if it's directly in between, if it's equidistant, mechza l'mechza, in this situation, yiplu l'goz le'ola. Here, we say that it preferably we should go to the ola offerings. The Rebbe Von explains over here that this does go like the Chachamim, as I mentioned, that the Kenan is one ola and one chatas, and the goz le'ola is two ola. And he says that since the chatas is eaten by the Kohanim, Umiyad sheyesh lo shas heter lekohanim ein bo meila. Since it can be eaten by the kohanim, it doesn't have meila, and the ola is kolil. It totally goes on the mizbeach. The chamira tvei and is a higher level carbon in this situation, and therefore, if the choice is to put it for the higher level ola or the lower level chatos in this situation, we prefer to give it to the ola, and that's why in this machlokes or this question as to which one it goes to, we choose the gozli ola rather than the kinin. Now, the Mishnah tells us a similar idea where you have a machlokes as to where something goes, that there's a choice between putting it in one box or another box. You have a similar idea if you have a chest that has money of chulin and a chest that has money of maaser sheni. Bein chulin or maaser sheni. Somebody has a box in his house where he keeps his maaser sheni redemption funds, and he has a regular wallet where he keeps his chulin funds. And you find money that's near one of them versus the other. So it depends. If it's carved the chulin, then we say yiplu l'chulin. The mastama came from the chulin box. If it's closer to the ma'aser sheni, carved the ma'aser sheni, so then yiplu l'ma'aser sheni. You put it in the ma'aser sheni box. Again, if it's equidistant, matzah l'matzah, yiplu l'ma'aser sheni. So then we give it the stringent status of putting it into the ma'aser sheni box. Sa'aklav, the Mishnah concludes with the following rule. Holchin achar akarv l'hokel. You're allowed to go after even the closer one, even if it's a kula. You're putting it into the less strict one because of the principle of Karov being a din daraisa. And one can rely upon this even in regards to a chumra isser. That, well, if this was really Maisa Shani funds, for example, and you're putting it into the chulin box, you're taking it out of its higher kedusha. Nevertheless, even the kula, you can rely upon this principle on a daraisa level of Karov and Rochok. And Matzah l'matzah, but if it's equidistant between the two, so then, l'hachmi, then you have to go l'chumra, because it's a question of a suffix daraisa, so you have to go l'chumra. Mara starts off and says, Lo hutrucha dolah. What does this mean? This is an expression we're going to have a number of times in the Gemara, so it pays to make sure that we understand it right now. And the Tiklin Chatkin says, this is a kusha, this is a kasha over here. And it basically means, V'chi lo hayotzorich lemisna. You really didn't have to say. And it literally could be translated as, Lo tzricha da. This wasn't really necessary to say, Ella, except. So it wasn't really necessary to say over here, except bein shkolim lekinim. It should have just taught us if you find coins in between the shkolim and the kinim, this would be between number two, the tiklin atikin, and the kinim shofar number three. That was really the only one that it had to teach us. In other words, what they're saying is, why did you tell me that there was a choice between number 1 and number 13 is the first thing in the Mishnah? Right now, the Gemara is assuming it's all in a straight line, and therefore, how could 1 and 13 get mixed up? They're as far apart as possible, and it should have told me really between 1 and 2. Now, between 1 and 2 is between Tiklin Chatatin and Tiklin Atikin, so that really would have had no Chiddush involved, because certainly you're going to put everything into the Tiklin Atikin in that situation, because the Tiklin Chatatin, if it's not used, is going to end up being Tiklin Atikin. So there's no problem. It definitely is going to someday be Tiklin Atikin, so you might as well just put it into the Tiklin Atikin box right away. So that Shiloh didn't get off the ground. But the Gemara says the first Shiloh that you should have asked was, what happens if it goes between 2 and 3? If it's equidistant between 2 and 3, so which one does it go to? So that's what you should have taught me, the Chiddush for Tiklin Atikin and the Kinin. So there's no Chiddush over there, because if you put it in for the Kinin, it will definitely go for a carbon. If you put it into the Tiklin Atikin, so it's definitely not going for a carbon. So that should have been the first one that you should have started with, but there was no Chiddush over there. So why did it start between number 1 and number 13? So Rav Avin B'Shem Rav Pinchas came in. The girsa we have is Buchliar. Other girsas over here are, you find in the Karbon Ha'edah, Kimin Kuvliim, Pirish Be'igol. It's a circle, as I said. Saviv Ha'yomdim, there was all around, all 13 were around in a circle. V'hayu Ha'shkolim Somuch L'nedava Mitzad Echad. And the shkolim were adjacent to number 13. Number 1 is adjacent to number 13. If you go around the full circle, they are adjacent to each other. That's why it started off with that example of if you find coins in between the two shofros. The Tiklin Chatatin has the same word, kuvlin, except he has a kuf instead of a kaf. And he says it's an eagle, a circle as well. Then the Mishnah is quoted, Mechtzeh l'mechtzeh yiplu l'dava, if it falls in between number 1 and number 13. So he said, if it's actually right in between, equidistant between the two, so then you put it into the l'dava box. So the Gemara says, lo tzorcha d'la, you didn't need to state this case except for the fact that it was mechtzeh l'mechtzeh yiplu l'shkolim. You should have thought, maybe, that it should fall into the shkolim case. It should fall into the box for shkolim, because the shkolim are going to go for a carbon. that is an obligatory carbon sibur, as opposed to the nedava that's going to go for a voluntary carbon for Keitz HaMizbeach. So one might have thought that it should go into that box. Some aren't gorus, this is a question. They delete this part and they just say, is the boy Meimar? The chiddush of the Mishnah is, Shema Yiplu Lishari Halishka, because if you put it into the shkolim, the tiklin charitin box, so then there's a chance it will be offered as a carbon sibur, but there's a chance that it won't be used, and it will fall into the shiare lishka. It will fall into those funds that are in the tiklin charitin box that aren't used, and they'll be, therefore not be used for carbonus sibur. They'll be used for future years as bedek habayis, and therefore that's not as high a level as if they go for the keitz hamizbeach, the ola that is brought, and therefore that is why it falls into that box. Because Shema Yiplu Lishari Alishka, and therefore it's preferable to have it into the Nadava box. That's teretz number one. Is the boy Neymar? Others give it different teretz, Metzel Metzah, Kami Shemes. In this situation, you have to view it as it's an unknown, and therefore if it's an unknown, you can't go and put it into the Tiklin Chadatim, because it's as if the owner died. And if an owner died after his shek was separated, it wasn't put into the box, but if the owner died after the shekel was separated, so then you don't go put it into the tiklin chayitin, but you go and put it into the nedava box. So here, this is exactly the same case. It's as if the owner died, because we're not sure which box it goes into, so therefore you have to go put it into the nedava box and not the tiklin chayitin box. As Omar Rabbi Yassa said, Ad da'on ataman, while I was still in Bavel, I heard Shamis call Rav Yehuda Shal Shmuel. I heard Rav Yehuda ask the Shmuel, what is the halacha? Hifri shiklo, if a person separated out his matzis a shekel, but then Nebuchadnezzar passed away a mace before it was put into the actual tiklin chadatin box. So you have a matzis a shekel coin that is for a dead person. So Shmuel told Rav Yehuda, Amalei, yiplu l'nedava. In that situation, you put it into the nedava. So this is the second teretz over here. Since we don't know which boxes you go to, it's like, it's the ki'ilu, hifrishu meis, and therefore it goes into the nedava box. Likewise, now we have the word mosar or not, asiris or eifo shalo, if you had extra funding from the asiris or eifo, the kohen gadol, when he was bringing his chavitin in the morning and in the afternoon, so he designated certain funds for that, and if he has moser asiris eifer shlo, he has extra funds, kohen gadol has extra funds, so Rav Yochanan amar yolichim yam amelech. Rav Yochanan says those extra funds, since they can't be used for this carbon, so they have to be thrown away, and you toss them into the yam amelech where they won't get used. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar amar yiplu nedavi, he says, no, you can go bring them for the Keitz HaMizbeach, you put them into the voluntary box for Olos. So too over here, you put the Tiklin Charetin question, whether it's Tiklin Charetin or whether it's Nedava, you put it into the Nedava box. It's like Moser, Asiris, or Eifa. We had this machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar earlier in the Masechta on Dafav, and we also point out that the Gemara Menachos actually has reversed these two shitas. Rabbi Yochanan is the one that says that it falls into the Nedava box, and Rabbi Elazar is the one that says that Yolichem Liyam HaMelech. The Gemara continues and says, the next case was, we said, it was between the Kinim, which we said was for the Olo and Chatos, like the Chachamim, or it was in between that kinim and the gozli ola, which is the two ola. So we said you put it into the gozli ola box if it's equidistant. So Gemara says the kasha yesh chatos krev ola. But wait a second, there's a woman here who is expecting this to go for an ola and a chatos. How is she going to get her kapara if her chatos isn't ever brought? So how can you say that you just put it into the gozli ola box? How is this woman going to get a kapara? The kasha yesh chatos krev ola. Her chatos is now going to be brought as an ola. How can you do this? So Gemara says chizkia with Aaron Gori's the word Ochi, B'shem Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Chizkiah said the name of Shimon Lakish. Now this is problematic because Chizkiah was a generation earlier than Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. He was the Rebbe of Rabbi Yochanan, so certainly he's going to be earlier than Reish Lakish, so Chizkiah wouldn't be saying something in the name of Reish Lakish. So others either change around the gears here, or they say that this isn't the standard Chizkiah that we're used to speaking about, and it's not the standard Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Whoever it was, Chizkiah said the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. The answer here is this is a Tanai Beis Din Hu. This is a special agreement that Beis Din said over here that if there are Mosaros, Al HaMosaros, Shikru Olos. If there are any extra Kobanos in the Chatos pile, they can be offered as an Ola. What exactly does this mean? So the Tiklin Chadatin explains, the Hainu, Ki Hai Gavna, our case, Shinitosru Ayidei Shinevdu. If you have extra potential Chatos that was left over because it was fallen out of the box, and it's in between these two boxes. The Efshor Leviim Lidei Kinim, you can't go bring it as a Chatas in an Ola, because Hevelei Kemosa Chatas, because maybe it doesn't belong there, it really belongs in the other one, and it's like an excess Chatas in this situation. And therefore, the Beis Din made a Tanai that if any such funds, Mosreim Nedava, you go put them into the Nedava box, they ain't Olos, they come as Olos, Leketz HaMizbeach. Now, so that explains why we don't have a problem in the Chatas turning into an Ola, but we're still left with a problem. But this poor woman, she was expecting that her Chatas is brought. A Chatas is not being brought on her behalf. So how does this woman ever become not a Mechuseres Kippurim? How does she ever get her full Kapara? So Gemara says, Amar Rav Yitzchak, again, Tanai Beis Din, this is another Tanai Beis Din, that Hamasapik and Sakinim, the one that supplies the bird supplier to the Beis HaMikdash of the birds, the Torah and the Ben Yona, the one who supplies the Beis HaMikdash, he takes it upon himself such losses. Hu Mesapik es Hapsulos. Whenever there is a doubt, he has to bring out of his own pocket and give an extra Torah or Ben Yona to the Beis HaMikdash, and they'll sacrifice that on a conditional basis for her as a chatas. So they can bring a chatas al tanai and say, if in fact this woman, this was her money, her funding, and this was supposed to go as a chatas, so we are now bringing it as a chatas. It's a chatas bala sofik. Normally a chatas cannot come on a sofik. The one exception to that is a bird chatas. It's brought al sofik. It is good. It will count for her sacrifice. The only difference is it's not eaten. So the Kohanim can't eat it. But it is brought as a proper sacrifice. The reason they can't eat it, because maybe it wasn't really a chatas, and then they did malik on it, which is not a kosher shlita, unless it's a korban. So this way, the woman's chiyav for a chatas is taken care of, albeit it won't be able to be eaten by the Kohanim. And since this is an extra one, because the money falls into the Ola box, so the person who supplies the Beis HaMikdash with the birds, that's his contract, so his contract basically says that he also has to supply an extra bird that will be brought as a chatas for this poor woman. Gemara continues and asks, Lo Tzricha Delo, why don't we also have the following statements or potential cases in the Mishnah? Bay. Now the gifts that we have is Ketoris, so it doesn't make any sense because none of the 13 are actually Ketoris. So it should be Ola. So what happens, why didn't it give us the case if it falls between the Ola and the Eitzin? If it falls between the Gozli Ola box, number 4, and the Eitzin box, number 5, or alternatively, between the Lavona box, number 6, and the Zohav Le Kapores, or box number 7, which you said was the gold either for the plating inside the Holy of Holies or for various utensils. So why weren't those Suffolk situations given to us? We only have a couple of Suffolk situations. Why not these? So Mar says they essentially were answered with the cloud that we said at the end of the Mishnah. Usnisa, we learned at the end of the Mishnah, Besofa, Zah cloud, this is the rule. Holchin acharakaruv mechzula mechzula hachmir. You go after the closer one when it's closer to one versus the other, even if it's lakula, and if it's exactly equidistant, if it's 50-50, it's right in between the two boxes, then you go for the more chumridika one. And therefore, in each of these situations, it was clear which one would fall to. In between the gozli ola and the eitzim, so it clearly would be better to go for bird offerings than for the machshire, wood that is used to support bringing a carbon but isn't a carbon itself. And if it's between the Lavona, which goes on the Mizbeach itself, versus the utensils or the gold plating that is the Zohar L'Kippores, so then clearly it would go to the Lavona one. So therefore, that is what the Tana taught us. So we answered these questions that were never really needed to be asked. Now, since we've started discussing all of these types of potential mix-ups, so we continue in Halacha Beis in the next Mishnah with additional cases where you find money in between two potential usages. So the Mishnah starts, Mo Shinimtsu, Lefnei Sochare Behema Li'olam Meiser. If you find money in front of the people that sell behemos in Yerushalayim, so then you can always assume that this is Meiser Sheni money, because the vast majority of the times people bought animals in Yerushalayim, it was to eat them, and they would eat them with Maisa Sheni funds. So even the people that came up for the Ola Regalim, so it's not only during the time of Aliyas Regal, but if they had leftover funds, they would give them to their friends for what the Tikkun Chatzit says is Tovas Hanah. They would choose to give it to a friend, then he would be able to pay them a little bit, or they did some sort of a favor to in order to get these funds. And these people who lived in Yerushalayim, people didn't want to carry the Maisa Sheni funds back to their hometown because they could mistakenly use them, and it would be a big problem. So therefore, they would leave them in Yerushalayim. And therefore, people would never use the their own personal chulin funds to purchase animals to eat, they would always take Maisa Sheni funds that they had. So therefore, all year round, there was always Maisa Sheni funds likely to be used to purchase animals. And therefore, la'olam, all year round, if you find money in front of the Sochrei Behema, it can be assumed that it's Maisa Sheni funds and has to be treated with the Kiddush of Maisa Sheni funds. Maybe it came from the pockets of these people that were selling the animals. They got the funds, they deconsecrated the Maisa Sheni funds onto the animal. So maybe the funds that you're finding are actually the owners, the person who owned the animal originally. Maybe they're his funds, which are now chulin. And that's what the Tikkun Charedin says, three lines at the bottom. So maybe this situation, they really are chulin, and they're not Maisa Sheni funds. So here we go. Sofik Yisur L'chumra. Since this is a Sofik of Isser, you have to go L'chumra. That's teretz number one. Inami, Mishum, the Lochin, Hevaruba. Or you could just say that the majority still was people purchasing it rather than the less likely situation. Statistically speaking, that he dropped it. It's more likely that it came from the 10, 15, 20 people that came to purchase animals from him rather than from his pocket. The many people that go and buy this animals from him, and therefore it's less likely. Therefore, we go after the row. The Mishnah continues, is, but if you find coins up on the Harabayis, they can definitely assume to be chulin. Even though during the Shlosh Regalim, there would be Maisa Sheni funds up there, most of the time, the funds that would be up there would not be Maisa Sheni funds, and therefore, we don't assume that they are Maisa Sheni funds. The Tikkun Charedin explains the following way. This Tikkun Charedin has found two lines from the bottom, and he says, Li'olam chulin, that we say on the Harabayis, if you find funds, they're always considered chulin. V'afilu b'shas haregel, even during the Aliyas haregel, when one could make the argument, she'es mos ma'isa merubin b'Yushalayim imos chulin, that then one could say that most people coming into Yushalayim, the guests coming in, have ma'isa sheni money more than they do chulin money, and therefore one could make the argument that even on the Harabayis, you should say that ma'isa sheni trumps the likelihood that it's chulin, and therefore we should assume that during the regal on the Harabayis it should be Maisa Sheni. So he says, no. Lo misavkinelu the Maisa. We don't say that it's Maisa because dazlinon bosa ruba the shata. Because the Harabayis wasn't clean. Yushalayim was swept every day. The Harabayis was not because people didn't traipse up there with shoes on. It wasn't so dirty. It was also on an incline and stuff blew away or rolled away from the Harabayis. And therefore, if you find coins on the Harabayis, you don't say mistama, it's now from the regal, but it could be from all year long. And all year long is much more than the Shas HaRegel. Barminon, lav ha'idna nafu, we say it didn't fall right now, elakodim ha'regel. So that's why on the Harabayis, we always assume funds are chulin. As opposed to, ubi Yerushalayim, the Mishnah says, bishar koyimos ha'shona chulin. The rest of the year, not during Aliyas HaRegel, we say the funds are chulin, because it was swept every day, and we don't assume that it came from another point in time. Ubishas HaRegel, however, during the Aliyas HaRegel, during the time when people came up, Shlosh Pamim Vashonah, Yereh, Kol Zuchurch, Esmei Hashem, so the people came up to do Aliyas HaRegel, like we just laid on Shmini Shel Pesach in Chutz Laaretz, so then in that situation, we assume, Bishas HaRegel, Hakol Maiser. However, the rest of the year, since they swept every day, then you can say that it is Chulin funds. Except, of course, if you find it in front of the Sochrei Behema, then you still assume that it's going to be Maiser Sheni funds. Now we have another situation. If you find basar, shenim sabazar, you find meat in the azar, you're not sure from which carbon it came from. So if it's a varim, if it's the limbs, so then you have to presume that it's olos, because you didn't leave them intact as limbs, except for the ola, where you brought the entire limb up on top of the mizbech, and ola was totally brought to Hashem, you didn't bother cutting it up. You were mafshid it, you flayed it, and you cut it up, you cut it up into its component parts, but they were large pieces, and therefore if you find large pieces, you can presume it's an ola, and it's brought up on the mizbech. However, v'chatichos, if you find pieces that are cut up, so then you can pretty much say it's not an ola, and you say it's a chatas. Now, Mefarshim point out it could also be an asham, but chatas is more common than Asham, so we call it Chatas, albeit it's treated exactly the same way. It's eaten by the Pirchei Kohuna inside the Azara, and it would be Nosar after that night. So, therefore, there's no difference whether we say it's Chatichos or Chatos or Asham, so we just give the more likely one, which is Chatos. Or Yerushalayim, if you find meat in Yerushalayim, we assume Zivchei Shlamim. We presume that it is Shlamim meat, and it will be treated with the Dinim of Shlamim. Now, this is true whether you have it cut up into chatichos, or even if you have it as large limbs, because if it's in Yerushalayim, mistama, it is from a carbon shlamim. Now, it doesn't mean that you get to eat these pieces of meat that you find in the Azara or that you find in Yerushalayim. Zev zeh tu'ubar tsuroso. You have to be concerned that maybe it is in fact nosar. It no longer is able to be eaten. You're finding now, who says it's from today's carbon? Maybe it's from yesterday's carbon. And therefore, zev zeh tu'ubar tsuroso. You have to go and either have it spoil, that's literally what tu'ubar tsuroso means, or others explain that it just means let it stay over that night, it'll have lina, even though it's not physically destroyed, now it definitely can't be eaten the next day, and then it goes out to the Beis HaSreifa. Again, in Yerushalayim, you'd have to wait till the following night, because the shlomim can be eaten for the 2 days and the one night in between, so maybe this is the first night, so you'd have to wait till the second night in order to say it's tu'ubar tsuroso, and it can therefore be put into the Beis HaSreifa. Now, if you find meat, nimtzua b'gvulin, if you find meat outside Yerushalayim in the rest of the country, so then, evarim nevelus, you have to assume that the evarim are nevelus because they weren't cut up, so the only time they would leave these large pieces of meat was because mistama, it was a nevela, and they'd leave it for the dogs or the other animals to eat in the street. The chatichos, however, if you find pieces of meat, and this is an area where they're all Jewish or majority were Jewish butchers, so then mutars, then you'd actually be allowed to eat it. Here there is no concern about lina, that it's a carbon. You're not allowed to eat anything that's a carbon outside Yerushalayim. This is talking about the rest of the Medina. So here it's just a question whether it's kosher or not. And if the majority of the butchers are kosher butchers, so then if you find cut-up meat, you can presume, and we'll discuss this more in the Gemara, that it is kosher meat in fact. Then the Mishnah concludes and says, we turn to Yutes and Beis, Ubishas Haregel, during the times of the Yom Tovim, if you find meat, when there's so much meat, people eat meat, even if they're not Ola L'Regel, even if they don't go up Yerushalayim. We, unfortunately, were not Ola L'Regel, but most of us had meat over Pesach, so there the din is, af evarim mutaros. Then, even if you find large limbs, not only chatichos, but even if you find large limbs, since so much meat is eaten, so sometimes you roast a huge limb, because there's so many people eating meat, and so much meat is consumed, so then, outside the Beis HaMikdash, outside Yerushalayim, if you find such meat, it is kosher, even if it's Evarim, we don't presume that it's Nevela meat. Now the Gemara says, Lo Tzrucha Delo, we only need to tell us this, Lo Tzricha Elo, the following, Bahara Bayis Kodesh, the Chiddush should have been in the Mishnah, that if you find coins up on the Har HaBayis, that they are considered Kodesh. Why do we say that the coins on the Har HaBayis are Chulin? That's what we pointed out. So why is that true? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Ba said over the name of Rabbi Chia, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, that chazaka she'en kohen motzi min alishka mos. Because in this situation, we don't assume that any kohen took out funding from the Trumas HaLishka without immediately exchanging it for whatever he was taking those money to buy. And therefore, any coins that you find up on the Har HaBayis, we can state with certainty are definitely not Trumas HaLishka coins, because the Kohanim was reason, and immediately as they took it out of the Trumas HaLishka, they immediately deconsecrated those coins onto the Behemah that they were buying, so the Behemah gets the Kedusha, and the coins are now Chulin. So Achu Mechalon Ala Behemah. So immediately they do this, and therefore you don't have to be concerned that any coins up on the Har HaBayis are actually from Trumas HaLishka funds. Then the Mishnah said, Basar Shrimsa V'chule, if you go and find meat in the Azara, so it depends. If they were Avarim, you assume that it's Ola meat, and if they were slices, then you can assume that it's Chatos meat, or technically we said Osha meat as well. And if you found it in Yerushalayim, you presume that it's Shlomo meat. But in all of these cases, you can't go and eat this meat because you have to assume that maybe it was possible because of Lina, and therefore you bring it to the Beis HaSreifa. Now, why is this so? I've been explaining this because there's a concern that it's lina. But there's another equal concern that if there's a hesach hadas, maybe in this situation, it came into contact with something that was tummy. If it wasn't watched all the time, it was bosa, anela, mina, ayin, so maybe it came into contact with tumma. And that's why it has to go out to the Beis HaSreifa. And here, Rebbe Elazar says, b'shem Rebbe Hoshaya, Rebbe Elazar says the name of Rebbe Hoshaya, hesi hadas, if a person had hesach hadas, ton ibotsura. Then you can't go and use this meat. You have to wait till it's over lina. Either it physically changes its tsura, or you just wait till the time that it's beyond what would be nosar, and then this meat is going to go to the Beis HaSreifa. That is what Rabbi Elazar said in the name of Roshaya. And Amr of Oshaya, Masniso Amr Kain. He says, our Mishnah says this because it says, Tu'ubar Tsuroso. You have to go and wait till it changes its appearance, i.e., till it has the status of Nosar, and then the Yetzel Beis HaSreifa. Now, we can't go and burn it right away. So therefore, obviously, the fact that you just had a Hesach Hadas on it doesn't automatically make it into the status of being no good, but you have to wait to say in this situation, as the Tiklun Chartin says, that it doesn't have an automatic psul haguf by hesach hadas. Visokadaitach psul haguf haba. If you're saying that it intrinsically is no good because of this hesach hadas, lomel ibur tzura, then you wouldn't have to wait till it had lina, till it had ibur tzura, till it changed its shape and became spoiled, or till it had lina, then you would be allowed to go burn it right away. So Rav Hushai says, from the fact that we make you wait to Uba Tsuraso, this is how the Tikkun Chatatin learns this, others learn this differently. So the Tikkun Chatatin says that this is a proof that it doesn't intrinsically become no good. You have to wait till it's to Uba Tsuraso. It's only a chashash over here that maybe it came into contact with Tuma, maybe it didn't, and therefore to Uba Tsuraso, Vietzel Basis Refa. Where it says, Amr Vyosi Vyos. Now there's two ways to learn this. The way the Tikkun Chatatin learns this is, before each time of the Masisin, the Matsuch Iber Tzura Lisrof, Baha Benidon Didon, the Lekka Baha Milsa Elosophic Tumah. Again, it's only a Sophic Tumah, and therefore you have to wait till Tiobut Tzura. So, and therefore, Rav Yossi says, Yos, this is correct. The way the Tikkun Chatatin learns this is correct. Le'ochlo ain't at Yocho, you can't eat it because Shemon is Kalkut Tzura. So, because maybe, in fact, it had come in touch with something Tommy. Lefum Cain, therefore, Tzorich, Neymar, you must say, Tuba Tzuraso, you have to wait till it becomes Nosar, and then the Yetzel Beis Sreifa. But you can't go and eat it now, because maybe it came into contact with something, because you weren't watching it, it had this Hesach Hadas, and therefore, you have to wait till it's Nosar, and then go and burn it. That's the way the Tikkun Chatatin understands this. Others understand this as, no, the Rav Yossi is saying, really? Is what you're saying correct? That's no, that's wrong. And Rav Yossi is coming along to argue with Rav Hoshaya. In any event, we'll just learn it the way the Tikkun Chatatin learns it, others learn it differently. Then we quote the Mishnah, Nimsa Begvul Vechule. We said that if you find meat outside Yerushalayim in the rest of Eretz Yisrael, so then if it's large pieces, so then if it's Evarim, so then we presume that it's Nevela meat. But if it was Chatichos, if most of the butchers are kosher, so then we can eat it as kosher meat. Rav Krispa, B'shem Rav Yossi, B'Rabbi Chanina. Rav Krispa said the name of Rav Yossi, the son of Rabbi Chanina, Evarim Nevelos, Lokin Alei Mishum Nevela. That if you were to eat this Nevela meat, this Evarim, which we're presuming is Nevela meat, it's a Vadai Nevela meat, and you get Malkus for eating it. It's not a Suffolk. And Masnisa Omer Kain, and the proof is from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah said, Evare Nevelos V'chatichos Mutaros. The Evarim are Nevelos, but the Chatichos are Mutaros. And just like the Chatichos are Vadai permitted to be eaten, Chatichos Mutaros Lo Mamish. Now, doesn't this mean that you actually can eat the chatichos, so we consider them vadai mutter? So too, the kavase, the parallel case, is evarim nevelos, that we consider the evarim to be vadai nevelos, and therefore, lokin alei mishum nevela. Furthermore, Rav Krispa said in the name of Shem Rav Yosef Rechanina, another halacha, he said, imayu machrozos, if they were actually tied together, if you find a lot of these evarim tied together, then mutaros. We can presume that they are mutar because nobody would go tied together in the nevela meat. So therefore, it must be that these actually were kosher, and this is a wholesaler over here has lots of large pieces that somehow got lost. If they're all tied together, then you can assume that it's not nevela meat, that it's actually good meat. And this is based upon the following, with famous Teisha Chanuyos. Now, we have first the case where the Teisha Chanuyos are treifa selling meat, and then we'll have the Teisha Chanuyos that are kosher selling meat. So Teisha Chanuyos mochus basu nevela. You have 9 stores that sell treifa meat, nevela meat. V'yachas mocheres basar shchuta, and one of them is a kosher store. Now, you bought from one of these stores. You didn't realize that there's treifa stores in this town. You went to the one of the stores. You thought all the stores in the town are kosher, and you're shocked to find that afterwards that 9 of them are treifa selling meat stores, and one is a kosher meat store. So now, neschalfalo, you find you have meat you bought from one of these stores, so you have to be concerned. Maybe you bought it from the treifa store, maybe you bought it from the kosher store. So choshesh, you have to be concerned. But it's not a vada. We don't say you go after the majority in this situation because of the halacha. Call kavua kemechza almechza domi. This is a famous rule that we have that when you bought it from one of these two places in a kavua place, so then we don't look at it as a 90-10 likelihood. 9 kosher stores, 1 treifa store, it's a 90% chance that it's treif. But we say, no, it's a 50-50 halachic discussion because this is the principle of when you purchase it from one of the set places, albeit you didn't know which set place it was, so call kavua kemechza almechza domi. This is a hard concept to understand, but this is the halacha. So, in this situation, you have to be choshesh that maybe you bought it from the kosher store, maybe you bought it from the non-kosher store. Ulanim says, hochen acharov. But if you find it in the street, then you go after the majority rules. Then we say, you go after the majority. And then in this situation, we would consider it to be treif. So in the first situation, when it's chalfu, you wouldn't get malchus, because technically we would say, it's not a vadai that it was treif and meat, and you wouldn't give malchus for this. But in the second case, because it's a majority, you would give malchus based upon the rov. Similarly, Teisha Chanuyos Mochus Bosu Shchuta. You have 9 kosher stores. Yachas Mocheres Bosu Nevela, and only 1 sells tray for meat. And now you went into the stores, you thought all of them were kosher, and Nischal Fulo Choshes. You have to be concerned even in this situation, even though it's a 90% chance that it's kosher meat. Again, because of the principle of Kol Kavur Kamechza Mechza Dami, so you're not allowed to go eat it. But if you eat it, of course, you won't get Malkus. But if you find this meat in the street, well, the Nim says Hochanach Harov, then you have the halachic right to say that it's from the kosher store, and you're allowed to go and eat this meat. Not a problem. He says, if you find meat from a non-Jewish person, it's like you find meat in the middle of the street, in the flatcha, like the highway, in the middle of this plaza, in the middle of this public area, and therefore, we follow the same rules of majority. If you find something, you can go after the majority. If the majority of the butchers in this town are kosher butchers, so then, even though it was found b'nimtza b'yad nachri, it is considered like it's found in the street, and the rule is that the majority of the butchers are kosher butchers, so then if you find it in the street, you are allowed to go and eat it. That is the psak of Rav Yochanan. And now we'll have a number of cases that the Gemara will go through that illustrate this psak halacha. So the Gemara continues and says, Rabbi Lazar, Bei Rav Chagai, Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rav Chagai, have a masmichla Rav Mana, was once walking and supporting Rabbi Mana. Often the older Talmid Chacham needed somebody to support them. They were walking and learning. And Chama, they saw Lechad Armoi, a certain Aramean, Mekateya min Suse, cutting off a piece of his horse, Evim and Achai, Umapik Lebra, and he was going and bringing it outside to the marketplace. Amale Hada, he the Amr of Yochanan. This Rav Elazar says to Rav Mana, is this what Rav Yochanan was talking about? Hanimsa b'yad nachri, kinimsa b'flatcha? Can we trust this nachri that he is selling kosher meat? We just saw him cut it off from the source. How could Rav Yochanan say that we can trust such a nachri? If you find in the hands of a nachri meat, it's as if you found it in the street and the majority of butchers are kosher, so therefore the meat is kosher. How can you possibly say this? So Amalei, so Rav Mana said back to him, Kain Amar Rav Yossi, Rebbe, this did Rav Yossi, my Rebbe, say, that which Rav Yochanan said, that if you find that's if you saw him going out of a Jewish store. So then in this situation, you can assume that the meat is kosher, and not that the storekeeper sold him non-kosher meat because he's a guy. You can assume in that situation that the storekeeper sold him kosher meat. Therefore, in this situation, if you see a meat in the hands of a non-Jewish person, that's as if you found it in the street and you go after the majority rules. Similar story. Chad Barnash, once it was a person, Bitziporin in the city of Tziporin, Ozil Boy Mizbun Kupad Min Tabacha. And he went and bought Kupad is meat, and he bought it from the butcher. Now, Lo Yavle, the butcher didn't want to sell it to him. As the Tikkun Chadatan says, they didn't like each other. Sonin, they were hating each other, and therefore he didn't want to sell it. Amale the Chad Ramoy, so the person who wasn't able to buy the meat went over to a certain guy, a certain Roman, Romoy, and he gave him money, and he went in, and he bought the meat for him, and ha, he was able to succeed in getting the meat. So Amalei, lo nosis al karche, so the person who wasn't originally allowed to buy the meat, the Jewish person who was hated by the storekeeper, went back into the butcher and said, ha, I got the meat anyway. So I was able to get the meat, and even though you didn't want to give it to me. So he told him, The butcher told this person, I knew you were going to do this. He was a Roman, so I gave him non-kosher meat. I gave him Bosan Nevela. You can't eat that meat anyway. So now what's the halacha? Rav Yirmiyah b'shem Rabbi Chanina. Rav Yirmiyah said the name Rabbi Chanina. Maisa bo lefnei Rabbi. This exact Maisa came to Rabbi, and he said, V'omar lo kula minei neisar mekulin d'tziporin. He doesn't have the right to go and say that all of the meat that is bought that day in the marketplace of Tzipori, in Tziporin, so he doesn't have the right to go and say that all the meat there that day is treif. Since there was no hachroz, there was no public announcement that there was some nevela meat that was being sold to the goyim, therefore all the meat that day in that marketplace is considered kosher, and this butcher, despite the fact that he didn't want to sell to this other Jew, he doesn't have the right to go and say all the meat that day is also basically by saying that he gave to the Roman some nevela meat, because there was no nevela meat around that day, there was no such achraza, therefore all the meat is presumed to be kosher, and he didn't have the right to go and say that the meat that he sold to that Roman, who gave it to that Jew, is in fact giving him treifa meat, non-kosher meat, nevela meat. Similarly, Rav Nochas L'Tamon, Rav once went from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and the Chamsun, Mekilin, he saw that the people were being very makel in the way they were treating these halachos, the Chamar Aleim, and he was machme therefore for them in the Psak halacha. For example, Chad Barnash, that once was a person, returned to Chof HaMaral, the Ozul boy, Mashizga, Iskupte Bugonahara, and he went to go and rinse off some of his meat over there in the river bank. However, as he was putting the meat down to go rinse it off, he left some there. The Inshus saw the Ozule. He left some meat over there, and he went on his way. And then he realized he left the meat there. Chazar by Mizbina. He went to go and get back the meat that he left over there. So Amalei Rav. Rav told him, sorry, buddy. Asurloch. This meat is now Asur. Because we say, the no amar, the no means the ano amar. It's as if I say, Hai Shotaf Nara, the river took away your meat that you had left there, it flooded it away, and now it happens to be that the river deposited somebody else's meat over there. I say chori de nevela tachtoi, and it put chori means another achor. It put another piece of meat over there that's actually nevela meat in your place. You can't assume that the meat that was there originally is the meat that was there now. So your meat that was kosher was washed away, and it was replaced with some nevela meat. So Rav saw that people were lenient with these dinim, so he was machmir in this situation. Another case that Rav was machmer on, Chad Bar Nash, there once was a person, Chava Mahalik Bashuka, he was walking in the marketplace, toin kupat, and he was having meat in his hand. Also, a daisa is a daya, we're going to read about this in this week's Parsha in Shmini, this daya, this bird came along, it's a vulture, the chat v'semine, grabbed the meat that he was holding in his hands, utlakte, and then went flying away, but dropped the meat. He put the meat down in another place. So, Chazar boy misivna. So, he wanted to go get back his meat. This person that the vulture stole the meat from saw that the vulture had dropped the meat in another place, and he went there and presumed that the meat that the vulture had taken from him was the same meat that the vulture dropped. So, Amar Le Rav, Rav saw this and said, no, Asulach, you can't presume that. You can't presume that the meat that was taken from you by the vulture is the same meat that the vulture put down. The Noamar, Anoamar, I say, Besar de Nevela Habestina. It actually was holding Besar Nevela, Utlakte. And when it took your meat, it dropped the Nevela meat over there. Benasbahu Urchrona. And now the piece of meat that it took away was yours, and it dropped the piece of meat. That was Nevela meat. It wasn't your piece of meat that you had originally had. Another story, Ginai Shotav Zikin. The river Ginai, that's the name of a Nahar. Shotav Zikin. Zikin are like flasks of wine, usually made out of leather, and it took these flasks, washed them down the river. It took them away, carried them away. And however, they later found these Zikin, these flasks of wine, up on the riverbank. So also of the Kumei Rav Yitzchok Rabbi Lazar. So they asked Rabbi Yitzchok, the son of Rabbi Lazar, what is the halacha? Can you have these flasks of wine? Can we assume that they were the same kosher wine that was the river had washed away, Omar, and he said, Yech kimun shapaya kitrohon. He said, let those people that put the wine into these flasks see if those flasks were sealed with their seal, with their knots that they made. And if they can recognize that these flasks were theirs, so then you can make that assumption that these are the same flasks. But if not, then you can't make that assumption. Again, another case, Nikunika. Nikunika is like also some sort of a jug of wine. Ishtakach b'knishto de buli was found inside the base knesses of buli. So they wanted to know, were these the original wine that was put over there that somebody had left there, and it's kosher wine? So also uvda kumi Rav Yirmiyah. So Maisa came in front of Rav Yirmiyah, and they asked him the Shaila Omar. He said, Yischak mun sokoriaya abidason. Let's go and see if the people that made their marks with a certain type of a dye, Sokaria is like a red dye, so if they were able to recognize that these jugs or containers of wine were there, so then they can. Otherwise, they can't. Another maisa, gedit sli. There was a roasted piece of meat from a gedi, a goat. Ishtakach bisrate de gufta. That was found in the roads of a city called Gufta. And they permitted the people to go and eat this meat for two reasons. The two possibilities are that it belongs to somebody else, so therefore they have to announce it and can't assume that the person was misyayish. It belonged to somebody else and you have to announce their loss. But here they passed that they didn't have to do this, and they also passed that it was kosher meat. You didn't have to be concerned that it was not kosher meat. So they gave it a heter for these two reasons. Mishum mitzia, number one, that they didn't have to be concerned that it was still in the possession, so to say, of the original owner. He wasn't Isyaish. Umishum rov mahal chidrochem. And likewise, since most of the people that were traveling here were kosher people, so therefore they could presume that it was the majority that had left it there would be kosher meat. Now, Mishum Metzia, why aren't we concerned that it was a Metzia? Why aren't we concerned that it belonged to somebody else, but we're allowed to say that they found it? The Tani, because we learned, Hamatsu Miyad Hari, Miyad Agais, if somebody saves something from a lion, or from a Agais, is marauding a bunch of foreign legions, of troops, so, or Mishunas Hayam, or from a river that overflowed, or Mishunas Anor, or a yam is a lake that overflowed, a sea that overflowed, or a nahar that overflowed, or miyistracho gedola, or miflacho gedola, or from these large roads, or from these large highways, or large plazas, hare elu shelo. If you find something in all of these places, you can presume, ipnei shabala misyashim hen, that the original owners gave up hope of ever getting it back from these either natural disasters or situations where there was no hope that they would ever see it again. So they were misyash, they gave up hope. And therefore, when you find it, you are now able to take it into your own possession. And the second part, that you're allowed to presume that it was kosher, mishum rov mahal chedrochan, mishum shchitas nachri. Since in this situation, most of the people over here had been Jewish who slaughtered it, and therefore, most of the people would be eating kosher meat, and therefore, achri rabim, you're allowed to go after the majority. So therefore, these two heterim allowed them to go and eat it. It wasn't considered an aveda that they had to announce, and it was considered kosher. And ma'isa shahaya vishtakach min de beis Rebbe. And it turned out that this was kosher food from the house of Rebbe. Another similar story. Igule de guvna, there was a piece of round cheese, ishtakach bepundiko de Levi, was found in Levi's house. In his place where he was, a punduk is like the hotel that he was staying at. And they permitted it to him for two reasons. Again, mishum etziah, it wasn't concerned that the original owner had not been nisyaish, the stomach of the original owner was nisyaish, and therefore we could have it. And because, again, most of the people that had cheese over here were Jewish. Mishum etziah, why is it permissible mishum etziah? Because the tani, the same rice that we just brought down before. Hamatz miyar gayis, miyar ari, mishunas hayom, mishunas anor, miyirisracha gedola, miflacha gedola, from all of these natural disasters or these large places, either he found it from a marauding troop or from a lion. Before we had from a lion and a marauding troop, I'm not sure why the order is different over here. In any event, from the overflowing ocean or lake or river, or it was found in this large highway or in this large public plaza. So, hare elu shalom ibn shabal misyoshmihan. You can presume that the original owners gave up hope, and therefore it is yours. And again, we're not concerned about it not being kosher. Mishum rov ho michl drachan, mishum gvinas nochri. Most of the people on this road were Jewish people, and therefore there was no concern that it was gvinas nochri. And as it turned out, Vishtakach min de Rebbe Eloza b'Rebbe Yossi. It turned out that this cheese, they subsequently found out, was from the house of Rebbe Eloza b'Rebbe Yossi. Amar Rebbe Yimona, Rebbe Yimona said, Kumi Rebbe Yossi in front of Rebbe Yossi, Vanan, however, I myself, Chamyon Rabbanon Machriz, and I saw that even though technically you could keep this, I saw myself that the Tamidei Chachamim, the Rabbanim, wouldn't accept this kula and assume that it was a metziah that they could take, keep, but they would in fact announce it and say, I found such and such an item. If anybody lost it, please come and claim it. So that's what Rav Mona said in front of Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi said, Amale, at en havisa mishkach lo nasavta? Really? If you find something, you wouldn't keep it for yourself? In this situation, Rabbi Yonah Avuch, your own father, lo amar ken, your own father said that you don't have to go make an announcement. El amar, halavai, Kad nishkach, nishkach bin piusa lugoy. Oy, if only I was so lucky to find the metziah, then I would be able to keep it, and I would be allowed to go and benefit from it, and not have to return it. However, it's brought down, afilu kein, ashkach v'lo nosif. Even though he said this, that was just a general halachic statement, but for himself he was machmir, either himself, or the Tikkun Chadin says, or the son, said over here that even though my father had proclaimed that this was permissible, the son himself was machmir and said, no, afilu kein ashkach lo nosif. He would make the announcement, he wouldn't keep it for himself because he wanted to make sure that he was doing perfectly the mitzvah of Hashabbas Aveda. With this, we conclude today's shiur.